So a little bit later, we'll be looking at God's word together. But right now, I want us to think about what it says on the screen. And I wonder, have you ever said, or maybe thought, but it's mine, but that's mine? I wonder if there are some things that are really important to you, things that you maybe don't like the idea of losing or the idea of sharing. So maybe take 30 seconds to talk with whoever's sitting with you, your parents or maybe your brother or sister. What kind of things make you think, oh, but that's mine, I don't want to share that, I don't want to lose that? Okay, I think that's long enough. Anyone want to shout out and what you would say, but it's mine? The TV remote. Yes, I can imagine that. Fighting over the TV remote was a childhood pastime for our family. Daniel, what would you? Your Nintendo Switch, yeah, games console for playing video games. What about you, Sam? Books like The Hobbit. I mean, I would agree with that. If someone wanted to take my Lord of the Rings copy, I would be very sad. James? Your toys, just all any of your toys. Yeah. Oh, and your phone. Yeah, I can imagine many of us can relate with that. I put a few things up here. I also put a games console up there, a computer games console, especially that one. That one's quite rare to get at the moment because of lockdown. It's been really hard to get the newest consoles. I wonder if anyone thinks, the grown-ups particularly, you think about your money. You've worked hard to get your money. I don't want to give that away. That's for me. I've earned it. I also thought chocolate. I know my children certainly don't like sharing chocolate. They have to be persuaded. And I certainly don't like sharing chocolate. You'd have to persuade me too. And maybe another one for the grown-ups is, what about your time? Maybe you think, but it's mine. I want this evening in. I want this quiet evening in just to watch TV. I don't want to go out and help out there or to do this. I mean, I know I certainly find my evenings are precious to me, so that might be mine. But I'll be back a little bit later as we look at Israel, who are thinking, but it's mine with their stuff that they don't want to give and share with God. So I'll be back a little later for that, and I'll hand back to Rosemary now.
Going to pray first for our reading and for the talk that comes later. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. As we listen to the reading today, help us to listen well to what you are saying to each one of us. And we pray for Craig as he speaks to us from your word, that we will understand your will for us and seek to put it into practice in our lives each day. Our reading is from Malachi, which we're looking at over the last few weeks, chapter 3, verse 6 to 12. And I'm reading from the New International Children's Bible, and the words will be on the screen. God said through Malachi, I am the Lord, I do not change. So you descendants of Jacob have not been destroyed. Like your ancestors before you, you have disobeyed my rules. You have not kept them. Return to me, then I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return? Should a man rob God, but you rob me? You ask, how have we robbed you? You have robbed me in your offerings and the tenth of your crops. So a curse is on you because the whole nation has robbed me. Bring to the storehouse a tenth of what you gain. Then there will be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out more blessings than you have room for. I will stop the insects so they won't eat your crops. The grapes won't fall from your vines before they are ready to pick, says the Lord of heaven's armies. All the nations will call you blessed. You will have a pleasant country, says the Lord of heaven's armies. This is the word of the Lord. Now, we're going to sing, before Craig comes to speak to us, we're going to sing, Come Praise and Glorify Our God.
Well, please do take a seat. And children, you won't know this, but over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Malachi. And we've seen that God's people, Israel, they've forgotten who God is. And they don't think he's really that great at the moment, because their church, the temple, well, it's pretty small, and it feels a bit like a building site. And so they're kind of dragging their feet in worshiping him. And I don't know if you have ever thought that on a Sunday morning, and you thought, but Dad, I don't want to go to church. Or maybe the grown-ups have thought of all the things you could do if you didn't go to church this morning. But God's people right now, they just don't really care about him. And so God says this. He says, I am the Lord. I do not change. So you, descendants of Jacob, have not been destroyed. He's saying he is the same God that he's always been. He hasn't changed at all. He is patient and kind like he always has been. And that is why Israel are back here in the land God has promised, rather than being destroyed or stuck back in Babylon. But then God says to them, he says, like your ancestors before you, you have disobeyed my rules. You have not kept them. Return to me, and then I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So God is saying, look, you have always disobeyed. Your great-great-great-grandparents did. Your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents did, and so on. You have not kept my rules, but you can come back to me. And if you come back to me, I will come back to you. Because God is patient and kind, and he has always been patient and kind. So you look up on screen, when Moses was leading Israel out of Egypt, they grumbled and they moaned. They didn't trust God. But God still made the Red Sea part so they could walk through the sea and be saved from the Egyptians. And then in the desert, they groaned and they grumbled again. And they broke the rules. But God gave them food that appeared out of nowhere and water out of a rock. And then again, they didn't believe that God would give them the land he promised. But then God made the walls of Jericho just fall down by them walking around in circles. And this didn't stop, it carried on and on. So when they were living in the promised land, Israel kept turning away from God and worshipping different gods. And then they'd get in trouble with another country or another tribe. And then God would give them a hero who would save them. And this happened again and again and again. You'd think they would learn, don't you? But God kept saving them because he is patient and kind. And so God here is ready for Israel to turn back to him again. He hasn't given up on them. He loves them still. And many parents are like that, aren't they? You know, think of a time that you have done something wrong. Maybe you broke something by playing with a ball where you shouldn't. Maybe you played with a football in the living room and you broke a vase. Or maybe you drew on the wall in permanent marker. I mean, I know I did my fair share of things as a kid. And my mum would tell me off. And sometimes she shouted. Sometimes she made me clean up the mess that I had made. Or I got sent to my room. Sometimes I lost my kind of TV or computer time. And I know I definitely didn't always say sorry straight away. But I knew that later on, maybe later that day or the next day, if I came to my mum and I said sorry, well, everything would be all right. I knew that she still loved me, she still cared for me, and she was ready to enjoy that next day with me. And I know it didn't always work so cleanly. I'm a parent now, and I know it can be hard to not feel fed up or frustrated even after sorry. But God is perfect, and we can trust that he is the best parent, even if ours weren't that great. And so when he says, return to me, and I will return to you. He means it. God is patient and kind, so come back to him. So God is saying, if you feel you've done something wrong, so God can't enjoy knowing you and being friends with you, God says, come back to me. If you feel you're not smart enough to be one of God's people, God says, come back to me. And if you feel God can't forgive all that you've done, maybe because you just keep messing up, you keep playing football in the living room and breaking vases and drawing on the walls and you keep doing it, even though you know you shouldn't, well, God says, come back to me. And so this great God, this great perfect Father who says, come back to me, we're going to sing about him now. And the band's going to come up and we're going to sing, Our God is a Great Big God. And Ali's going to come up. She's going to lead us in the actions. And there's no pressure for adults to join in, but you're welcome to if you want to. And so I'll hand over to the band and Ali now. Thank you very much, Ali and the band. And for everyone joining in, I think almost everyone was joining in with the actions there. So, we've seen so far that God is patient and kind. He has said, come back to me. And so Israel now says, well, how? How can we return? And so God says, and if you're following along, it's up on screen, should a man rob God? But you rob me. I mean, that's quite a problem, isn't it? Stealing from God is kind of a big deal. And so they ask, how? How have we robbed you? And God says, you have robbed me in your offerings and the tenth of your crops. You might, that's a bit odd what that might be, but they have been stealing from God by not giving him offerings and by not giving him and one-tenth of their crops. Because you see, Israel, they were meant to give God the first tenth of everything they harvested from their fields. So that meant that one in ten of every bag of flour that they made from their wheat would go to the temple. One in every 10 carrots would go to the temple. One in every 10 potatoes would go to the temple. And so they would harvest everything. They would gather it all up, like this bowl of fruit I have here, they gather everything they've harvested up, and then they would always give God the first tenth. So they'd take out the first tenth they've got, they'd go and take it, and they'd give it, they'd go take it to the temple, and they'd leave it there. And then what's left, well, then they would use that to feed their family and to maybe sell at the market. But maybe for us, it's a bit easier to imagine money, because I don't think many of us have farms, and so often we get what we need from money, maybe not quite so big as this, a big wad of money. But it would be the same thing, though. For every 10 pounds that they got, they would have to give the first one to God. And so I've got 10 notes here, 10 50 Monopoly monies here in my hand, and so if I get this when I'm paid, when Andy pays me at the end of the month, I take the first one. This is what Israel did. I take the first one, and they would go and give it to the temple, and they'd give that to God. That's what they would do. And then they could decide, well, I'm now going to go and spend this on what I need to eat. I go to Asda, get food. Maybe if I've got some left over, I could go and buy something nice. Maybe I could buy a game for my Nintendo Switch. And now that was useful, because it meant the priests, who didn't have farms of their own, well, they would have food to eat. But more importantly, it showed God that they loved him. That's how they showed God that they loved him. It showed God he was number one in their lives, because they gave the first things they got, the first of their crop, the first of any money, they would give it to God, and then they would use the rest for themselves. They would say, you first, God, and then me, by giving the first of everything they've earned. And so God says they've robbed him because they've stopped giving him this. They're keeping it for themselves. They're saying, but it's mine. Well, this is what God says to that. He says, so a curse is on you because the whole nation has robbed me. Can you imagine that? The whole country has robbed God. Bring to the storehouse a tenth of what you gain, and then there will be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out more blessings than you have room for. So God is reminding them of the promises they have made and that he has made. And when he gave Israel the law on how to live, when he gave them the rules, well, Israel promised to live this way and not this way. And God promised that if they lived this way, well, he would bless them. And if they lived this way, well, he would curse them. And God says, I am doing exactly what I have promised because you are living this way. I mean, I'm sure you've got, those of you that are at school, you've got teachers, and many teachers say, if you don't do your homework, well, you get detention. That's the rule. And so when you don't do it, when you live this way, well, the teachers, they're not being mean when they give you detention. The teacher is just keeping their promise. But God is saying, yes, I'm doing what I promised here because you're living this way, but also if you do what you promised you would do, I will also do exactly what I promise if you live this way. So God says, test me, see what happens if you live this way. Show me your love by bringing your offerings again. Start bringing them to me and I will keep my promise and bless you. I'll pour out more blessings than you have room for. I'll protect your crops from the pests, the ones that try to eat it, and the rabbits that make the different crops go bad. I'll make your fruit grow really well. It will only fall off the tree when it's healthy. And he says, all nations will look at you and think, wow, it's amazing. God is blessing this nation. Now, we don't have to keep the laws that Israel kept. We don't have to keep those rules. You know, we're not under the law that God gave Moses. But that doesn't really matter here. Because this, what's going on here about the tenth and the rule, it's not about the rules. It's about a relationship. God is saying to Israel, you've given up on me. You don't want a relationship with me. That's what your actions show me. And God says, turn back to me, and I am here ready to be in relationship with you. Just turn back to me. Show me that you love me. Show your heart's love with your actions. Now, this is a bit like what I imagine many of you have done today. It's Mother's Day today. And so I wonder if anyone can tell me, what have you done for your mum today? Murray. So Murray and her grandma gave Liana a big present. That sounds very exciting. And Sam? So is that? You made a card, a homemade card. Oh, that's very special. And Zoe? Oh, you made a present at school. Yeah, and Zoana? Lots of cards and presents. Oh, we've got a little hand back here. What? Feel free to shout it out so I can hear it at the front. Can someone shout that out to me? Card and flowers. Yeah, so you might. And here is my son. He's giving giving his mum a treat. So you might have given your mum flowers. You might have given her a nice bunch of flowers, probably a bigger one than this. You might have given her something. That's nice, isn't it? You might have given her, I just realized I forgot to bring it. You might have given her chocolates. Elliot and Isaac gave Becky chocolates this morning, and I was going to wave them up here. But you might have given your mum chocolates. I don't know many mums that don't like chocolate. And you might have made, I think I heard that a few times, a special breakfast. And we had croissants this morning. These are not the ones we've eaten, but we had croissants this morning. We had a special breakfast. And you might have done that for your mum. And so why did you do those things? Did you do it because you have a special rule in your house that says every Mother's Day, you must make your mum breakfast and give her flowers? Is there a rule that says that? And if you don't do that, you'll get in trouble? Maybe you'll get grounded or sent to your room? I don't think so. Or maybe you're paying your mum. Maybe you're saying, here's what you've earned because you've made me breakfast every day for the last year. You've helped clean my clothes. You've gone out to work and earned money for us as a family. And so I'm paying you by giving you some flowers and croissants. And I don't think some pastries are enough for all that mums do for us. And so why do you do all these things? Has anyone got any ideas? Why do you do what you do today? Why did you give your mum a big present? Why did you give your mum a homemade card or some flowers? Yes, Daniel? Well, because it's Mother's Day, and anyone else got another reason why you might do that on Mother's Day? Yes, Anna? Because you love her. You do it because you love your mum. You do these things to show her your love. You give her special breakfasts or flowers, or I'm sure there's some more original presents out there that you might have given your mum at some point. You give these things because it shows your mum what is in your heart, that you love her. And for Israel, giving their offerings showed that they loved God. Certainly, we can give to God. So for us, well, how can our actions show that we love God? Well, certainly, we can give to God like Israel does. I mean, some of us give God, we could give God some of our money. We could share what we have with others in the way that Jesus did. We could share our food with church family and neighbors over dinner. We could give to God by giving our time to God. Or, you know, giving maybe some of the, if you like reading books, maybe some of your book reading time, you'll say, I'll use that to read the Bible and hear what God is saying. Or maybe some of my playtime I'll use to show kindness to my friends. And rather than thinking, oh, that's mine, that's my stuff, that's my time. But the main way we can show God our hearts love him, well, it's by living this way, the way he has asked us to, turning away from bad things and trusting he knows what is best. That's what he's asking Israel. Turn away from your wrong behavior. Turn away from not giving. Instead, turn back to me. And God says to us, turn away from unkind words. Turn away from unkind actions. Turn away from keeping to yourself everything I've given you. Turn away from only caring about me on Sundays. Instead, your kindness and your generosity and your concern for me, they show me your love. So let's, today and this week, this month, let's show God our love in the same way that we have shown our mum's love today. So let me finish with a prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you are the best parent we could possibly have, that you are always kind and patient, and that never changes. So please help us to turn back to you every day, as we know that we always live the way you don't want us to, but help us to keep turning back to the way you do want us to live, that we can enjoy your blessing. Amen.